then why are you giving me the opportunity? You give me the spotlight for once.
Yeah, you know why?
I'm sweating from excitement.
You know why? I am. Because I was on, basically, I was in the gym and...
Do the welcome. Hi guys, and welcome to Sisters in the City. I think it sounds better when you say it. With me, Mandy Vakili.
And me, Anna Vakili.
It sounds better when you say it.
So basically, yeah, I was in the gym and I found it so difficult on the treadmill. Like, so difficult. I was like literally counting down the seconds, the milliseconds. For it to be over, like, you know, never, time does not go ever
as over
the treadmill session, okay, the hour. I don't think time ever goes as slowly as when you are on the treadmill.
No.
And I was like listening to music, it just wasn't doing it for me. I was like, let me put our podcast on, yeah? And I went back down to like season two and I was listening to season two and like you... introduced a podcast and you're like, hey guys, welcome to Sisters in the City with me, Mandy Vakili. And I was like, what? Because I'm so used to doing it now. Like,
I don't know what stage it was that you decided to become the main character of the show and you decided to take over the instruction every single week.
Yeah. So then when I heard that, I was like, oh my God, maybe I should let Mandy introduce as well sometimes now.
So how was it, Anna? How was it? Well, you should give me a heads up.
Honestly, it was so weird listening back like to season two.
We were happier and single.
Yeah, it's so weird. You were just like literally talking about how you just became official with Gingerbeard and I'd just broken up with Cowslick.
Oh, God.
And we were like talking about how like, you know, I was heartbroken and like, I was dating.
We did a heartbreak episode.
Yeah, man. But it was just weird going back and listening to it.
So much has changed.
Yeah, we have literally like a journal, yeah? Like a little journal.
No.
And like some of the episodes I was listening to are like mad, yeah? Like the sex episodes. We are talking.
We went in. You censored us so much.
Yeah,
Anna.
We were so much more uncensored and like...
fun.
But we were more... I think we're more fun now.
But like, we can put the uncensored shit on Patreon, do you get me?
Yeah.
Like we can put dirty shit on there.
I feel like we're funnier now for some reason because we're more natural at it.
Yeah.
And we're more comfortable.
Really good because I felt like I was funnier before.
No, I just felt
like this dark cloud came over my life and I've just become like this miserable person.
No, you're funnier. You know why? It's because you're more comfortable now. Because we were starting off, so we were just still like trying to, you know, mics. Yeah, everything
I
was
still
just...
don't know how to use the mic. I'm still struggling every single day with this fucking mic.
But in terms of like... uncensorship and just being more real.
Yeah.
And not real.
Unfiltered.
But
now it's like we've got the woke community watching us. We've got binoculars. People are staring at everywhere. Shit, we got on the shade.
We got our boyfriend's family watching and listening.
Yeah, we've got cancellation crews just trying to, you know, cancel us. So we're trying to be careful with shit we say, bitch.
That's a lie.
Yeah, because I don't really, give up.
Yeah, we don't care.
I don't understand. Like, How can you make shit funny without not offending anyone? Like, it's just not possible, like, to be that careful. It's not possible. I was watching, like, Omi Jalili's stand-up comedy, and I just thought, like, that shit would never be allowed. Like, I watched live at Apollo. Omi Jalili is, like, an Iranian comedian, by the way. And he was live at Apollo in, like, 2018. And the jokes he was making, I was thinking, he could never get away with that shit now. Like, never.
Yeah, it is. Everything's very censored now.
Yeah.
But that's why people do like us.
Mm.
And that's why a lot of people, I think, love us. Is because we are less, like, filtered than other people on our podcast.
Yeah,
we're more just like, this is what you get.
Do you know who we met recently who's very similar to us? Is Grace.
Yeah, Grace is so similar to us.
Yeah.
We just got on so well, didn't we?
So well.
And you know what? The actual podcast has done well.
I was
worried. You know, me and Mandy spoke about how we were worried because, you know, we know our listeners, they're kind of like very similar to us and they like get us and they understand us.
And just
we
get our weirdness.
Yeah. But like we thought a new audience might not get us. But in fact...
they loved us.
Yeah.
We're lovable.
We're lovable. So take it back when you said unlikables in the city.
I swear to God, I actually thought, there was going to be like a trolling storm under her comments of like, who the fuck are these two plastics? Because why do we always get that? I don't know why we get that.
I don't know why we get that either.
Like, I still haven't even got the nose job that I want to get. Like, I don't understand. There's nothing, no surgery being done on the face.
Nothing.
So I don't know why we get that.
Maybe because we're so flawless.
We're so flawless.
That people think we've had surgery.
That's what mummy said.
Really?
Yeah, mum said that. It's just because we're so flawless.
Aww, she's
got me so gassed. We look plastic. We check it as a compliment.
Is it?
Yeah.
Looking plastic? I don't know. Mm. I really don't know. Maybe we're just trying to make ourselves better.
Anyway.
So take it back. We're not unlikables in the city. We are lovables
in the city.
Lovables in the city.
Lover girls.
Lovables.
Everybody loves us. Everybody loved us on that podcast.
The energy's changing now.
Yeah. We're getting popular now.
Yeah.
Right?
No, you know what people are like?
We're popular now.
You know the comments, people are like, oh, do you know what? I'm so happy for them. They deserve this recognition.
I know. It's like we're just underdogs. Yeah. We're living in the shed, doing our podcast in a fucking shed. And now we're just getting that, you know, just
the what we deserve. Yeah.
Just a drop of fame.
We're like Leonardo DiCaprio waiting for the Oscars.
Yeah. We're like, who is it that went for so many auditions and they got turned down? Drake.
Yeah, like Denzel Washington.
Yeah, we're like...
He didn't make it until his 40s or something.
No, he did, Anna, he did.
Oh, few, okay.
But we're like that, like Morgan Freeman, you mean? Is it that? I don't think so. Anyway,
no, I think it's Denzel Washington. I don't know.
Anyway, like we're just that unrecognized treasure.
Yeah.
You know?
We're waiting to be digged up.
Yeah, we're like Beyonce who released so much shit. But Beyonce, that never happens to Beyonce.
You
but we're
always
like
the, compare us to Beyonce. And it's really embarrassing.
Have you seen in Love Island they started doing it as well?
Oh, yeah.
Georgia Harrison was like, yeah, like I was Beyonce. And I was like, they took this from us.
It's because Beyonce is so amazing,
yeah,
and big.
So huge, yeah.
And like, that's why. But yeah, we really like the talent.
So it's like everybody's like rooting for us because we're just, you know, scraping along, you know, just scraping for the top.
But yeah, anyway, no, but it was good. It was a good experience and it was
amazing.
And it's done well for us as well. So yeah, today... Oh, before we go on to today's episode, how are you, Mandy? Like,
oh, terrible. How you been? Honestly, so miserable. I've never been so miserable in my life. Very depressed. I might be clinically, actually. It could actually be clinical depression. I'm not throwing that around lightly. I've been Googling it. I'm on Pinterest, everything.
Really?
I'm going through a very,
you say that with
very
a smile
dark
on your face.
Phase.
But that's what they say, you know. They say, like, you know, people that might be laughing and smiling and like they look happy on the outside. You don't know what they're actually going through.
They're the most miserable people.
I don't know about that. But like,
why? I mean, why take away my misery?
I mean, I don't. It's not a joke. Being depressed, it's actually fucking horrible.
No, no, but I have been in a very, very bad way.
Yeah.
Seriously, I actually feel like I'm kind of going through depression. Look, I make a joke out of it because, like, sometimes I think like life is so fickle and fading and so short, and like before you know it, it's over. Like sometimes you just have to understand that there's going to be ups and there's going to be bad downs.
Yeah.
Like I just realized I wanted to come into this world and win and win and win at everything. Win at education, win at success, win at money, win at love, have a lovely marriage, have kids and
everything
perfect. Be pretty. Like, that's not real. That's a fairy tale. That's not real life. There's going to be really bad ups. Really bad downs. And there's going to be really great ups. And I feel like I need to be open to more downs in the future. There's going to be life.
There's going to be really bad downs.
There is. There is going to be really bad downs. And like, I have to become more strong. But I've realized kind of as well how alone we are as human beings, even though I'm probably the least alone person because I've got you, who's like, you know, my other half, like my twin. But obviously not living with you anymore as well the past year has really changed a lot for me. I realized...
Yeah, me too.
I realized we really are alone in our experiences. Is when you start going your separate ways and when you settle down with someone, well, or settle down with someone who doesn't want to settle down with you. When you do that, like... You kind of realize I wake up alone with my emotions and I carry them with me through the day and I go to sleep with them and I wake up with them and I don't really have Anna or...
Yeah, because we were so used to before, like waking up and being in the same house and straight away coming to each other.
And
like,
releasing you know,
straight away. Like we wouldn't go to sleep or wake up without talking somehow, however we're feeling, whether it's happy, like confused, sad, like we'd always speak to each other. And we're not phone people, so like that's also a problem.
100%. It's really bad.
It's really bad.
It's really bad because like I don't speak to you about my emotions for days.
Yeah, you don't call me and we don't speak on the phone. We never speak on the
phone.
And
it's really bad because I don't even call my cousin, who's my bestest friend, who lives in Dubai now. She moved there because she's smart. And like I don't even call her. And it's like losing her
has been
very traumatic for me. And it's probably weird because she probably thinks Manny doesn't even give a shit because she doesn't even call me. But like, I lost my dog 2 months ago. I lost my bestest friend, my cousin, like in the last 2 months as well.
I mean, she's just moved to Dubai.
Because she's moved to, sorry, yeah, not in that way. But she moved to Dubai. But I lost her like physically in my life. And it's just been really, really traumatic as well. And especially going
through
a very...
There's some things that Mandy's going through as well.
Yeah, in my relationship. Like, I do actually feel like, sadly, I've come... I've come to like the realization that like, I don't want to say this on this episode because I should have said it on like Patreon, but like that my relationship is coming to like some sort of end in a way, like, and it doesn't even feel like a breakup. It feels like a divorce.
I think you're just being all right now, like, because you've got stuff going on, like you're feeling emotional.
Really?
Yeah. Don't jump to conclusions right now. Yet.
I don't know. I just like, I've got... I don't know. This is just really weird because I've gone from being so happy and in a good mood to like suddenly being so upset. Like now on the podcast, and I feel embarrassed.
No, don't be embarrassed. It's fine. People understand. People go through this in their life as well. Like it's not just us. People think just because we're here doing a podcast, this is what our podcast is like.
Yeah,
though.
But it's I feel like people come on here like because they want to be happy. They want to be uplifted. They want to be in a good mood.
No, that's not true. What do you mean that's not true? People come in here and they like us in all sorts of episodes. They like us when we're funny. They like us when we're sad. They like us for us, and they like that we're real. It's not just this. Yes, it's a comedy podcast.
Yeah.
But it's more like a journal podcast.
I feel
podcast.
Like this weird pressure. Like, I need to be happy and uplifting and full of energy. Like, I've got so much to be grateful for as well. Like, I've got you who understands, like, literally all of my feelings and my mum who's amazing. But I have realised that, like, as humans, we are very much alone as well on this journey. No one's really going to come and rescue you apart from yourself.
Uh-huh. That's so true.
You know, like, no one's going to get you out of a bad situation apart from you. No one's going to, like, get you out of bed and make you work out and eat healthy and stop smoking. No one's going to do any of these things for you. It's down to you. Like,
and you have to want to do it. If you don't want to do it, it's just, yeah. You're going to just keep going down this downward spiral.
And even like leaving relationships in the past or like realizing that relationships didn't work, I feel like we were always around our friends a lot and we were around each other a lot. And that was a lot of like support. Influence as well.
And support.
And support of like, it's not almost like when you went for a breakup before, like the last time when you broke up with Kelsey, it's like you didn't break up with him alone. It's almost like you broke up with him with everyone.
Yeah, because we lived in our own flat, me and Mandy, and we had like all our girls live near us.
Yeah.
And all our girls were talking because some of them aren't talking now. And like I had a bunch of girls at my house.
So much support.
Like almost every night. And I had like you
me
there.
Every morning till every night. But me right now, my feeling is like if I did take that step like you did,
You're scared.
I'm really scared because I'm alone. Where would I go from here? Like, where would I live? Where would I move to? What would I do? Like, what would my days consist of? Like, how would I get through that heartbreak? You know, all of that is very scary and it's quite heavy.
It is scary, but I feel like you can help yourself even in that situation. Even if you push yourself to be around people as much as you want yourself.
I think I am, like, I've become a lot stronger than I ever was in my life. And I am a lot stronger. Trust me, I go through a lot as well on my own and don't even share it with anyone. And I feel what's helping me a lot as well is like, when I look after myself, I feel stronger. I feel confident in my, like, in my perseverance almost. Like when I'm even upset and I'm down, I get up and I do like a workout and I eat clean and whatever and I get shit done and I take my content and I do my podcast, all these things.
That's really good. I'm like, so proud of you because me, when I'm really feeling down, I just don't get out of bed.
Yeah, I have those days as well. But they make you feel like you're going to fail on your own. These days make you feel like, oh my God.
You almost like feel like you're giving up on
yourself.
Yeah, but it's just horrible.
Yeah, but you can't.
But I don't have as much like willpower as you if I'm feeling low to get up and keep going, like, which is really amazing. Mm-hmm. I was always worried about you, like in terms of like if you were to go through a breakup.
I know you always worry about me, but I feel like you need to accept that like I am going to go through pain. Like you went through the worst.
Yeah, but I'm not worried about myself. I know I can handle shit.
Yeah, but I've seen breakups. I've had breakups. I just know that, yes, I'm... You, because I feel like when you love someone so much, you don't want to see them go through pain, right? Like, I didn't want to see you go through pain. And I was always snapping at you, like, come on, man, get over it, pick yourself up, because you don't want to see someone you love so much go through pain.
It's not even that. I'm not just worried about you going through pain. I think it's because of all, like, your past, mental health.
Like, intrusive thinking and OCD.
All that, I'm worried... If I knew you were going to go through pain and you were going to get over it, that's fine. I'm just worried that you'd like torture yourself to the point of like extremes. And I don't mean physically, guys. I mean like emotionally, like to the point of like, it's just, I feel so unhealthy. Do you know what I mean? And that's what I'm worried about.
Like, I understand, like, but I've been through the worst. And if I can come out of that, like, I'm sure I can go.
What do you mean you've been through the worst?
Like, as in terms of like mental health and in terms of like OCD and intrusive thoughts, I've been at rock bottom and I've overcome it and come out of it. So like if I can do it before, I can do it again. And also now, like as I'm older, I'm not as sensitive. So like I do have a lot of random intrusive thoughts and I do have intrusive dreams or intrusive things. And I don't really feel the need to like have to even talk to you or anyone about them
so
a lot of the time because I don't really care as much about like
yeah,
my morality, which is bad, but it's good. I feel like before I was so concerned about what kind of person am I?
Yeah.
Am I a good, moral, innocent person? Am I this or whatever? Like now I don't really care as much.
And
like,
you understand that.
And I understand that like thoughts aren't who I am. And I feel like I'm better. I'm always going to be that person that is maybe more sensitive to thoughts than another person. I'm always going to be like that. I'm always going to be more sensitive to my thoughts. And maybe one day I will be like, Anna, I had this thought, or I had this dream. But that's as far as it will go. And I'm just for like, hopefully, like touch wood, I've got faith in my strength.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I've got faith in my strength.
I've got faith in you as well. Even though I'm worried about you, I still believe.
I'm more worried about my mental health in my late 40s and 50s.
Really?
Yeah. I just always worry like, oh my God, imagine going through your whole life and then getting in such a bad like place at a later age. And that scares me more because at the moment, like we've talked about before as well, how we put so much value on like our looks and going out and our appearance and like, I'm worried how I will be when that goes, when that fades away, when that part of my life fades and I'm not married and I don't have kids. If I don't, then I'm more worried about myself. And if I don't feel like I've got a purpose.
Well, that's why we always say that like we need to find a deeper meaning and to life.
Yeah, 100%.
I don't think we have that enough. Like,
no, we don't.
We don't.
But I saw a podcast on TikTok the other day and it was a lady, she was 60 years old. And she was talking about like, I sent it to you actually. She was like, I am still sexy and I'm still hot and guys try and sleep with me all the time. And she said that, I know, yeah? And she was like, I might not get as much. She's like, maybe a little bit delusional because she was like, I don't get as much looked at or attention as maybe a 20-something year old. But I just feel like that's because people know you can't easily sleep with me. You can't easily dump me. You can't easily like lead me on. I have expectations, blah, blah. But she was like, I have loads of sex and I go on loads of dates. And I rate that. Like, in a way, I rate her.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? She's not making that up.
Yeah.
So she was like, because what difference between me and a 20-something-year-old is that, like, I don't give a shit about how I look.
Yeah.
Like, I'm so confident about myself and who I am.
Yeah.
I don't care about, oh my God, is she pretty or is my hair like this? Is my waist small enough? Like, you develop a level of confidence, I think, with age that we haven't realized yet.
We haven't reached yet. It's like, you are who you are. Like, forget the shell.
Yeah, you know yourself better.
Yeah. Like, I always know that, like, I've always said sexiness is from within.
Yeah.
It's so within. It's like, but... Yeah, man, this is all too deep. I wasn't expecting that for it to get this deep,
I know.
Guys. Like, this episode was actually going to be about, which I think we should still do.
Yeah, we should still do some of it and then do the rest.
We can save half of it for another episode. But this episode's actually, because I thought it would be fun. We had a previous episode where we did why men love, what was it?
Why Men Love Bitches.
Based on the book, Why Men Love Bitches. And it was basically like, you know, from doormat to dream girl, like the things you should do.
And we kind of reviewed the book.
Yeah. And then I thought, because that episode actually did really well. So we thought we'd do an episode similar, but it's like how to make him fall for you. Like tips and tricks on like when you're dating someone, especially, like how to make him like intrigued and want to date you again and again and again.
And trust me, this is one thing that me and Anna have got on Smash.
Yeah, that's one thing that we actually really good at, isn't it? Like,
yeah,
we might not be great at staying in the relationship and getting married.
We are, to be honest, like, look, we are good at that. The thing is, you can get a guy to be in a relationship with you. Doesn't mean he's going to be the best guy and be the right guy. Do you know what I mean? Like, it ain't easy to get.
Yeah, to be honest, it's true. Like, I mean, if we really wanted to, me and you, both of us, we could have been married by now with babies.
Yes, 100%.
But we've chosen not to.
Yes, and plus, it's not... I've got with a guy who's nearly 2 years younger than me. He was very good looking, wealthy, and, you know, like, and all these things. And I've managed to get him, cuff him, live with him. I've been with him for 3 years. So, do you know what I mean? We know what we're doing. He might just not be right for me or compatible, but we know what we're fucking doing.
Yeah. And especially the dating phase.
I think the dating phase got smashed.
Professional at the dating phase. So I put some things that I thought like were really important. And I also did my research because I'm about that life now. Like I'm doing the research for you guys.
And I have to put in the work.
Putting the effort and work to the podcast.
You tell me. Because I want to start dating again soon. I need to know.
Okay, so how to make him fall for you. Oh, no, him. This applies to this. So this episode is really going to be useful for girls and gay guys.
Yeah.
Because
I don't use this as a man on a woman.
Yeah, not don't use this for a woman to make her woman.
No,
for
it's
you.
Ain't gonna work.
Yeah,
it's strictly men, strictly dickly.
So, first tip when you're on a date with him is to use his name.
Ooh, sexy.
Yeah,
shows confidence.
It shows confidence.
Confidence.
Yeah, and it's like you actually know his name as well, which is a good thing because you know you're not getting him mixed up with someone else.
Yeah.
I mean, I has been times I've been on a date and I completely forgotten the guy's name.
What?
Like I don't even remember. Like I go blank.
On the date.
Yeah, because you know what? I go blank. Oh my it's really God. Scary. I go
honestly,
blank.
The levels to hurry. She's you, Anna. Honestly, you've been on the fucking date and you don't remember the guy's name.
Yeah. When I went through like serious dating stages.
Oh wow. Honestly, I rate it.
Yeah, and then. Has never been like that you know someone's name and then suddenly you forget.
Honestly,
like you go blank. You go blank.
It's all this drinking. It's damaging our brain cells.
100%. Like I told you, I go like blank with my phone passcode.
Yeah. So you like failed that. On that date then because you couldn't fucking say his name.
Well, no, because I did everything else right.
Yeah.
It's, this is just one tip. It's not like if you don't do... I mean, try and do as much as you can. But like, let's say you're going out on a date with Roger. Like
Roger?
Yeah.
Ooh, Roger. What is a random name?
So Roger, where do you see yourself in 5 years' time?
Don't say that. Definitely don't ask about where you see yourself in 5 years' time. I mean, Anna, you just could... Don't ever say, Roger, where do you see yourself in 5 years' time? Basically, alarm bell is going to start going off in his head. Fuck, bitch wants babies or some shit.
True.
I feel like... So Roger, like, what's your favorite cuisine?
Yeah.
Like, that's a good question. Yeah. Guys love to talk about shit, especially if they're like fatties and they love to eat. They just be going on.
Yeah.
Or
Roger.
Do you...
No, don't Roger, say Roger to begin
Roger
with.
Me.
So don't say Roger to begin with. Do it at the end.
Roger, why is your name a shit name like Roger?
Like, no. Do you have any siblings, Roger?
Yeah, Roger.
Like, put Roger at the end of the sentence.
Yeah. Like, yeah, you know? I like it at the end.
Yeah. It's like, how are you, Mandy?
Yeah,
not
you know,
Mandy, how
when
are you?
When you get to a serious relationship, though, every time you say your partner's name, it's usually
when
you're fed up and angry.
Yeah.
So, like, enjoy the dating phase when you're saying it in, like, a sensual way.
Yeah. Because when you hear their name now, like, if I say Cowslick, he'll be like, what have I done?
Yeah. Or I'm like, it's fine, Gingerbeard. It's okay, Gingerbeard.
Yeah.
So, at the beginning, it was like, so Gingerbeard.
Like, what's up?
What's up with the shoulders, Mandy? I don't know. I'm trying to be flirty. I haven't flirted for so long. It's been like 3 years.
Yeah, we're out.
Maybe we're out of the game, brother!
Yeah, maybe this wasn't the best episode because we have
actually... I still remember!
We've been out of the fucking dating game for so long.
We still remember, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's been 2 years for me. Coming up to... Can you believe it, guys? Like, the OGs that have been here since season two. Can you believe it? I just got back with Cowslick. Like... It's nearly coming up to like two years.
That's mad.
I don't know if you guys remember from season two, man. That scary time flies.
I would just want to take myself back to like that time and make the right decisions. Anyway, next.
So the next one we got, which is very, I think everybody knows, but it's so important. Like, don't forget how important this is, but it's eye contact.
Yes.
Don't be talking to him
and looking down.
Looking down. While you're talking to him, or the worst thing I remember, like being on a date and they're like talking to me, but they're looking there.
I hate that.
Like, who the fuck are you looking at?
Oh my God, I hate that. I hate that so much. You know what? Eye contact is very important. Again, it shows confidence.
Yeah.
And, you know, like just a lot of self-esteem. Like you're not shying away from staring in his eyes and it's sexy. But when he's looking at eyes, those aren't like, on a date. Like those are.
Yeah, don't be like.
So Roger.
Like, don't be like,
you might want to look down a little bit. Like,
yeah, but when you're speaking,
that's later on. It's later on in the night.
When you're giving a blowjob.
I don't know. It just escalate there.
Do you think eye contact with blowjobs?
I don't know because your eyes starts rolling back and it starts like, oh.
It hurts, doesn't it?
Because yeah, you know,
especially if you're really down below and they're all the way up there.
Yeah.
And it's like,
you have to start bringing downwards.
So no, you have to lay them down.
Yeah, and then, and then bring the penis down because it just. Anyway, moving on, the eye contact, but we're talking about at the dinner table.
Yeah.
You know?
Not the blue.
And maybe do look around a little bit. Let him think, where is she looking? Is there a fitter guy there? You know, is there a guy with more money? Oh, a Lamborghini. Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. I could be with him.
I could be with him. And then, like, maybe stare a bit too long at the Lamborghini. And then be like, sorry, what were you saying? Eye contact.
Sprinkle. Yeah. No, I don't. Yeah, you're right. You're so right about that. I wouldn't say like the whole date.
Yeah,
have
you don't look mesmerized in love with the guy.
Yeah.
Well, last thing you want to look like is you're in love. Well, you want to look a bit distracted, actually.
Yeah. But when you're speaking to him and you're mid conversation, like you're actually having a conversation, I don't think you should look away.
Yeah. No. You shouldn't. Not when you're. Not when he's. You know, you ask him a question like Roger, what do you do for work? And he's talking to you, and you're like. Fucking looking around, no.
Yeah, bitch, you just asked me a question. Yeah, why are you like, looking away?
But you know, probably like you more.
All right. So next thing is let him talk about himself on the date.
We all know men are narcissists.
Yeah.
99.9% of them.
Yeah.
Selfish, self-obsessed. They love talking about themselves. It's all about their ego. The woman that they fall for is the woman that just makes him feel like a man.
Like makes him feel like he's the shit.
His dick's this big and you're like, oh, you have the biggest dick I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
You know, or like he pays one bill at a fucking Mayfair bar and you're like, you're so balling. You know, I'd never be with a broke guy.
No, no.
Can't catch me with a broke guy. Guy no, pay like fucking like, free drinks.
I just love how you look after me.
Yeah, you're
like
so
that.
Sweet.
Like, just love how you look after me.
You make me feel so safe because you're so big. I feel so small in your arms.
Yeah.
All these bars. You know, the guy could be anorexic and I'll still say it. You make me feel so small in your arms. He's got a big wallet. You make me feel so small. I feel so tiny around you. So these are the things to say.
And for us to say that we feel tiny around a guy.
We're very big girls, you know.
We're big girls, you know.
A big girl, you
it's
know.
Hard to
big
feel small.
Gal out here, you know.
It's hard to feel small.
But we'll say it.
We say it
we
anyway.
We say it to people. Men believe anything.
But to be fair, I think we're lucky with our boyfriends. I mean, your boyfriend's quite tall.
I made him like put on weight and get a bit bulkier as well. Yeah. So like he looks more of a man.
My boyfriend's not as tall, but he's quite big. So I mean, I feel it. But you used to say to me.
You feel it?
No, I feel it.
I feel it.
No, I said I feel it. Like, oh, I do feel small it. Sometimes around him. But you said to me, I'll never forget, you always said like, it must be hard for you around your boyfriend.
No, because before, Cowslick wasn't as big. Oh, he put on weight.
Yeah.
Like he put on weight and he's bulked up. Before, when you first got back with him, no.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
All right, fair enough. Okay, anyway, let him talk about himself. Let him talk about his passions and his work and like, let him
they
do
blow
it.
Their own horn. Let them blow their own horn. If men could, they'd give themselves a blowjob.
Like
they're so self-obsessed.
Yeah. Like asking questions like you're interested.
Yeah.
In, like,
and really pretend you're interested.
You're like, wow. Oh my God, that's amazing. Yeah. Oh,
I still do that in a relationship. Like, I was like, how was work? Tell me about work. And he's talking about work and my brain's going ding, 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 ding. And I don't know what the hell is going on. I'm thinking about like,
something completely different.
The next time I need to get my infills done. All this shit, but he's talking. I'm like, me too.
Mm. I do that all the time. He's like going off and talking, and especially you know, Cal's like tall.
He fucking tall.
He talks, and like I'm literally thinking about something else, like something completely different. Like you said, my nails, my hair, my like what I'm like, how my weight loss is going, and shit like that. And like he's literally in conversation, and then like at one point, I don't know. Sometimes it gets a bit bait.
Yeah. I don't know
what he's saying. So it's like, you know, I have to like pretend and be like.
Do you remember one sentence or one word, and then you repeat it
to
them? The mirroring.
Yeah, the mirroring conversation. That's it. Mm. Like, yeah, that's
it's just
true.
So much manipulation.
But that one. That applies during the dating stage
and
relationship. You should always let them feel like you're interested in them. And really, you're not.
Really, you don't give a shit.
Really, you don't care. Okay, next one. Smell amazing. Mm-hmm. Like, make sure you smell good. You don't be going on a date stinking of BO. Like, I don't care.
Yeah.
Don't be that girl or guy.
Yeah, and you know what? This is actually a good way of getting a guy to buy you a perfume.
What, stinking?
No, but like, you know, you're into your perfumes. You put your perfume on. What do you think of my perfume? Do you like it? Like, yeah, I do want some other perfumes, but I want to wear something that you really like, you know, like
something
you find sexy. All of this is technique for him to buy you a £500 perfume. Like, I want what you like. And then you let him take
you. He could just be like, I like what you, how you smell now.
Then he's like, I want something more. Like more. You don't want me to smell like the same bitch every day. I want to change it up. Switch it up.
I feel like smell is so important, like, in the dating stage.
It's, yeah.
Especially in the dating stage. Like, I'll never forget, like, for me and Cowslick, it was such a big thing, smell. Mm-hmm. Like, I was loved the way he smelled. It was almost like...
You craved it, like a drug.
Like a dog. Like, smelling... Trying to find his treat, yeah? Like, that was me trying to find Cowslick when he smelled. And he was the same with me, yeah? Because he would, like, if I went around, he'd be like, I'll miss your smell, yeah?
Oh, I need to use the same smell, man.
Yeah. And then, like, I remember... If I weren't speaking to him, because you know me and him was up and down at the beginning. Like, if we went for, like, the very beginning, like, 2 weeks not seeing him, and then I come back and I see him,
was like,
he would literally, on my neck, I'm not joking, on my neck, go... And he'd literally look at me like, I
sounds
missed...
Sounds like you were two wild dogs. Two wild dogs dogging. Honestly, I don't know what was going there.
Like, I missed your smell. And it was a lot of, like, smell talk.
Yeah, really?
It was a lot of smell talk. I feel like smell is really important, but like now he doesn't talk about my smell.
No, I don't
no
get
more.
Confidence tonight.
Yeah, like what's going on? Like I'm wonder because I'm the same smell as I was at the beginning.
Yeah,
I've stuck to the same perfume. I've had the same perfume.
They get used to it. and they take the smell for granted. And they don't care about the smell. They don't care if the smell leaves.
I know, right?
They don't care about the smell anymore.
It's really upsetting.
Yeah. Like, but don't worry. You'll always be a new smell.
Yeah. No, but even recently, he's been saying to me, like, recently, let me get you, like, a new smell. And I'm starting to think, like,
maybe
you're
obsessed. Over the smell.
You were obsessed with
men want variety. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They want a variety. That's a bad sign, motherfucker.
It's a bad sign. Okay. Anyway, yeah. So the next one is very similar to the smell, but show that you care about your physical appearance.
Yeah, don't
and like,
let it go.
I feel like this is so important as well. And I don't give a shit what anybody says. Like, caring about your physical appearance is not only just for him, but for you. Like, if you show that you, like, take care of yourself and, like, you know, you love yourself, that will make him want to take care of you.
Yeah.
If you don't care about yourself,
yeah,
like, you be coming with, like, chipped up nails.
Ew.
And, like, smelly. Mm. Or, like, your hair's just, like, all over the
gaff. Pants all the time, baggy t-shirts.
Like,
and you know what? We got a lot of work to do on this. Mm. Because, like, I don't know. I'd be looking, like, real trampy some days.
Yeah, but I'm not talking about being in a relationship. Like, yeah, I agree.
This dating phase. Dating 100%. Phase. You got to be looking on point. Do you remember when Gingerbread and Cows that used to come over to our flat?
Oh,
we used to always look good.
So, you know what? This is what I was thinking about the other day.
What?
Right? Because basically, yeah, when I was dating Cowslick and, like, when I was dating in my dating phases, like, if he was coming round, not even if he was coming around, because I'd always be prepared, like, you know, because he'd come around. Mm. But, like, I'd always, like, exfoliate my body and moisturize it with the best moisturizer to soft, soft skin. And my hair would always be tidy. And I'd always just be, like,
really nice lounge set.
Nice lounge set.
And always moisturize, a lip balm, a little bit of concealer, boom.
Not concealer.
No, like, a dot.
I used to have, like, we used to have the nice, nice lounge sets, like, really nice.
But hair was always done.
Hair was always nice. And, like, then now, like, for example, if he wants to, like, to spontaneously put it on me, I'll be not shaved.
You'll be looking like that fucking pigeon lady from fucking Home Alone.
Yeah, I'll be not shaved.
Yeah.
I'll be, like, crusty skin.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, like, sometimes I come out the shower and I can't be asked to moisturize my whole body.
I thought you judged me a few episodes ago for that.
You've been looking really crusty that day, yeah? But, like,
it's hard. If you're a clean person, you shower every day. Yeah. It's fucking hard.
Yeah, but, like, it is. Sometimes I can't be bothered because I'm so tall as well. Like, I mean, I'm 5'9".
It's
but
a,
like,
lot of body surface area.
A big body surface area. And sometimes I'm just be like, get lazy. Some sections I don't moisturize. And then when you want to put it on me, I'm not prepared.
No, babe.
I'm not prepared. Like, I'm not smooth like I used to be. And then I thought to myself, I made the decision the other day. 2 days ago, in
what
fact.
What was the decision?
I was like, I want to be that girl that I was when I met him. And I went to the fucking shower. I exfoliated my whole body, scrubbed it hard.
Yeah.
I put on that Palmer, you know, Palmer's
cocoa butter,
all over my body. Smooth, soft. And then when he put it on me.
I was ready, baby. Coming, dolphin.
But anyway, back to the dating phase.
Right.
It's really important when you first date someone and you come show up to the date. Like, even if you're going for a coffee shop date, yeah? Even if you're doing something like a pub date, I don't know, you guys do that. Mm. Some people do that.
Smell good, be clean, be well kept, dress nice, do your hair, put your makeup on and fucking look good.
Yeah.
Because I tell you one thing, it's true. Men are visual.
Yeah.
They are visual.
Yeah. And, like, even if you're that girl that doesn't get, like, infills or manicures and stuff like that, that's fine. If you have your natural nails, because I saw this whole thing on TikTok and girls were like, why do you, like, get so much pressure on girls to have nail varnish or infills or manicures? Like, it's not fair. And I agree. Like, it might not be for every girl. Mm. For us, it is. Like, we'll never have not have a manicure. But, like, certain girls, they don't want to. They want to have their natural nails. That's fine, but have clean, nice, natural nails.
Yeah, and all of them the same length.
Yeah.
Can't be having, like, different, you know.
Exactly.
Like, city skyline shit. Nah. We need all nice, same length, nice, clean nails.
Absolutely. And if you're going to wear nail varnish, don't go with chipped nail varnish.
Don't be going with greasy ass hair.
Pet peeve of mine, yeah? Chipped nail varnish.
Mm.
Ugh, it gives me ick.
Yeah, I know.
Girls that have chipped nail varnish.
Yeah, me too.
You listen to this.
Do you know what it is though? Like, sometimes, like, my nail broke right before an engagement party.
I know, I saw.
Shit can happen.
That's why I don't like long nails.
I know.
Shit like that. You saw always.
But that's why I changed from round to square, because apparently round nails break easier than square nails.
Really?
Because they're, like, more, you know, fragile. Really? Anyway. Oh, look at us digressing as usual.
As usual. Okay, I'll move on. Next one is don't have sex with him straight away.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is really important. But the next thing is, also, don't be a cock tease.
Oh, so true. Anna's, you know, she was always that person.
Yeah, that's not a good
look. It's not good.
Yeah, so, like...
I don't know how they always end up falling for you anyway, but you would, like, be the biggest cock tease.
Yeah, do you remember?
Yeah. But okay, and okay, I was like, why are you doing this? Poor guys, man.
Don't have sex straight away. I really believe in that. Like, I'm not saying that if you have sex straight away, you're not going to have a relationship or make him fall for you.
You
like,
will.
All these tips, I'm not saying like if you don't do one of them, he's not going to fall for you. That's not true. It's like, collectively, you can try and do as many of them as you can.
Yes.
Mandy's had previous relationships where she's had sex straight away.
One previous relationship, excuse me.
One.
Yeah, but you know what it is?
And he fell for you hard.
Yeah, so hard, like, the pussy it, good, you get me?
Yeah.
But like, I just feel like, but like you said, doesn't mean that they won't be in a relationship with you, but they might not have as much respect for you in the relationship.
True.
And plus, like,
I mean, this definitely, I don't know, but like, if this applies to every guy.
I don't know if it applies to every girl either, because like, some people just don't see it like that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But I think it definitely, I don't care what anybody says, it definitely applies to 99% of Middle Eastern men.
Yes.
Middle Eastern men. Like, I don't know about English guys or anything like that.
They won't be with you if you have sex with them straight away.
Yeah.
They won't take you seriously. They'll be like, she's a hoe. Even if that could be the first fuck you've ever had in your life, but fuck him straight away, they'll be like, she's a hoe.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
I guess assess the man.
And don't be like, I'm not having sex because, like, I'm not that girl and I don't have sex straight away. Like,
you need
that. Shut up, bitch.
Yeah. Don't do that. That is the most cringiest thing you can do.
Yeah, don't do that. I'm a good girl. Like,
I'm not going to sleep with you straight away because I don't sleep with anyone straight away. Like, you don't need to try and make yourself look a certain way.
And like, don't give a time limit as well. Like, just you know.
Just look, I'm not ready.
Yeah, don't even say that.
What do you mean? They're going to like, why don't you want to have sex?
If it's straight away, like first date.
No. Yeah.
You don't even fucking say shit. If that much trying to have sex, you call the police.
What do you mean? Like,
the first
let's say after the date, you're in the car or like you're back at his or he's back at yours and you're kissing and then he's trying to put his hand up your top, like up your skirt.
Nah, babe, it's the first date, relax.
What would you say?
Embarrass him, embarrass.
It's too soon.
Yeah.
That's what you say, you just say it's too soon.
Yeah, babe, do you even know my surname?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or even like, even, I don't know, it depends on what you want to do. Like I personally, like,
I
how
agree.
Long did it take for you to sleep with Gingerbeard? I think for me it was 2 weeks.
That's exactly what, mine's a bit over because I was waiting and then I ended up on my period. So I ended up with wait like 3 weeks because I was away.
Yeah.
A bit longer. But I probably would have waited 2 weeks. It depends how often you're seeing him. If you're seeing him, I was with Gingerbread every day for 2 weeks, like 4 times, 5 times a week.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, it's fine. But yeah, look, it's just more, as a person anyway, man or woman, we shouldn't be giving ourselves, look at me preaching like some fucking religious like leader. We shouldn't be giving our bodies so easily to other people. And we shouldn't make sex like such a casual thing.
When did it become like that? You know what is so crazy? It's like I've gone through phases in my life. Like growing up, obviously with mom, she used to say in my head, like when we were young, don't have sex till you're married. And I remember that very clearly when we were in school.
Yeah.
Then she kind of changed as well because she was just like, she's from Iran and like coming to this country, she's become a bit more open-minded. Then I went through a phase of like, who cares? It's just sex. Like you can have sex with it. Like it doesn't matter. Not that I started sleeping around.
But because, our view on it.
But my view on it changed. Like you can if you want to. But then still, because of like growing up the way I was, it was still a bit difficult for me just to have sex just randomly. But like it was easier for me like
because
to have sex.
Because you still were conditioned to believe that it's wrong to sleep around. But even though you were like, no, it's okay to sleep around.
Yeah. But then now I'm going through another phase, like the last few years, again, of like, I don't like the idea of just sleeping around or just having sex easily and like how people in this world just have sex so easily with anyone.
I think it's just become so outrageous though. Do you know what I mean now? Like
it has become outrageous.
The way people sleep around. And I feel like it's got a lot to do with age and maturity. As you get older, you don't really find any like meaning or purpose or even pleasure to it anymore. Do you know what I mean? It's not fun. We're looking for a bit more of a connection on a deeper level.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I mean, I've always said like whatever makes someone happy, like if you're happy, like having sex with whoever you want, that's fine. But like I just personally think like it's better just to not give your body just to any old person.
Yeah, I feel like I might this a bit more as well to women. Because I feel like us have lowering our standards and losing kind of respect for ourselves and being so easily accessible and available has made men these arrogant, narcissistic, like literally men who don't give women any princess treatment, who aren't gentlemen, they think they're the bollocks. And I feel like that comes to women serving themselves.
It's because they
men.
Can just like, oh, I can just go on a night out and I'll
fuck
just
anyone.
And fuck anyone. Or I can just go on Instagram, DM some girl and yeah. she's going to come and fuck me.
Why would I treat this woman amazing? Like there's plenty out there like for me who are willing to sleep with me. And I feel like as women, we need to change. We need to become a little bit more reserved. We need to become a little bit more fussy. And you know, you have to actually treat me nice and look after me and be nice to me and pursue me for me to give you my body.
Yeah. And I don't mean, and we're not talking like material things.
No.
Like energy,
yes, effort, energy, time,
kindness,
respect. Yeah. And like you giving yourself to men so easily is what's making men be the way they are in this generation.
I 100%
agree. That's the problem. That's the root of the problem.
Yeah.
Of course they're not going to respect women when women don't respect themselves.
Yeah, and we say this because to women, because I think everybody knows that majority of men are more sexually driven than women. Like yeah. they are sexually driven. So that's just the way it is. Like,
and women are more emotionally driven. So like a lot of the time you girls are like, you think because you watch, I don't know, what you see from social media or porn or whatever, you think if you sexually please a man or you give yourself to him and you give him like the best sex and you're so hot, he's going to fall for you, but he doesn't.
Absolutely
like he
not.
Doesn't. That's not what's going to make a man fall for you. Like it takes so much more for a man to fall for a woman. He might fall in love with the most average looking girl because he might want to have sex with you loads and loads and loads, but he doesn't mean he's going to settle down with you because he wants other qualities for the woman he marries or settles down with. So you're going to get emotionally attached to a man because it's been proven mm-hmm. that, you know, women release, oxytocin? Women release oxytocin during sex, but men only release oxytocin during sex with the woman that they fall in love with.
Crazy.
That is crazy, right?
Yeah.
So women are releasing oxytocin anytime they're having sex with any man because for us, sex is such an emotional thing. Like, but men...
Isn't it the other way around, Andy?
No, so basically what it means is a women develop some kind of attachment or connection to the man that they're continuously having sex with.
Right.
Whereas a man can have sex with the hottest girl continuously for over 1 year, 2 years, and not have any emotional attachment to her whatsoever. He'll still be attached to his wife.
I don't know about that because like personally, I know that I can have sex with someone over and over again and have zero emotional attachment.
Yeah, but it depends.
I think we're just talking like majority.
Really, can you over and over and over again? Yeah. Most women that are having sex over and over and over again with the same man, they either grow some feelings or they have some to begin with.
I'm not sure.
Anyway, the point is that men only release oxytocin when they're having sex with the woman that they're in love with. So basically, you're setting yourself up for heartbreak if that's the case. If you're having sex with a guy hoping he's going to fall for you and you're falling for him, it's not going to happen. He's not going
to
fall for you.
Never use sex as a way to think you're going to keep a man or make him fall for you. Or it's never the case.
Yeah, because
in fact, this even applies to like relationships, or marriages. There's people that are married mm-hmm. and they're having sex with their husband like 6 times a week because they're at their man's service. Their man's horny and their man wants mm-hmm. to have sex with them. And they're like, if he's horny and like he's like, you know, he wants to have sex, even though I'm not in the mood and I don't want to,
I'm going to do it for him.
If he wants a blowjob, I'm going to give it to him. And you don't want to, but you just do it because, you know, like you feel like you have to please your man to keep him. Like almost like what mum thinks, like kind of like
it's backward
thinking. Like mum thinks that you should always please your man sexually. In fact, like, mate, if my man comes to me and says, I want a blowjob and I'm not in the mood, no. Like, take yourself away from me.
You know what makes a man fall for you is exactly what you said, boundaries.
Yeah.
Boundaries is what makes a man fall in love with you and stay falling in love with you. One of the reasons why my relationship's like turning like bad is because I didn't set boundaries and I didn't stick to my boundaries. And that led to like him putting less effort in with me, wanting to impress me less, you know, feeling like he can be complacent, take me for granted. So, I mean, she doesn't have any boundaries. She's not going to leave. She's not going to go anywhere. That's my fault. You can't even blame the man because it's me.
Yeah.
So when you don't have boundaries, you're not going to make a man fall in love with you and you might not even be able to keep him in love with you.
Mm-hmm.
It's boundaries.
Men like a challenge as well. They like to have to like chase like what they get. Like, you know, they always say that saying, which I know everyone knows it, but it's so true. Like when you go and like, if someone come and put like a deer's head in front of a man, a hunter, a man, he's not going to go hang it up on his wall. He's yeah. gonna be like, but then when they go and do it themselves, they're going to hang it up on their wall because it's a prize.
Yeah.
Like, that is so true.
Yeah.
Like the more easily obtainable it is, you're not going to value it. It's like working for your money. When you work for your money hard,
you're more careful with
you're it. More careful with it and you value it more. If it just comes to you easily, like a lottery, like me coming out of Love Island,
yeah.
I didn't value that money 100%, enough.
100%.
If I was hustling like now I am with my podcast, putting the work in, yeah. I value it so much more.
Yeah.
So men like a challenge. It's just the way they are. So yeah. don't be
and
easy.
Everything they say, reverse it in your head. Don't believe them. Like, don't believe what they say. A man wants a woman that's going to shut her mouth and cook and clean. And look,
they're yeah, lying.
That's what they want. But what they actually fall for is the opposite.
Yeah. Yeah. But we'll get onto all that as well.
Yeah.
That's,
there is a lot.
There's a lot. Do we think we're like men experts?
No, but we are. Like, honestly, everything that I, like, I've even know a lot of the things I did in my relationship were mistakes. And I even know that, like, right now, one of the reasons why it's not working is because of those mistakes. And sometimes once you make those mistakes, it's very hard to reverse it. It is very hard. Do you know what I mean? It's so don't make the mistakes in the first yeah. place, basically.
Look, sex is pleasurable and it's amazing. And like, you can be horny sometimes. Like, a bitch be horny. Like, yeah, especially if you're single and you want to have sex. Just like, we're not saying don't have sex. Like, we love sex. Be smart about it. That's
know
it.
You're a prize.
Yeah, know you're a
and
prize.
And physical intimacy with you is a prize.
Absolutely.
And make him see that and behave accordingly.
But all this, what we said, don't be a cock tease, is like, don't be completely naked in bed with him, completely naked.
Yeah.
His penis is like this close to your vagina or ass. And like, and yeah. then you're like, no.
Get yourself in that position.
That's like off-putting.
Yeah,
I would like, say, bitch, you're basically
yeah.
like ready to have it. Like you're that. Like yeah. your my penis is basically touching your vagina.
Yeah, and even
you're,
like, being naked and like making out. No, don't
no.
do. Like, I would say if you're gonna go for stages, like base one, kissing, base two, top half one. That means like you let him like see your breasts or whatever, or like. For a gay guy, maybe let him like touch your penis or whatever. But don't be getting naked and getting in bed. Do you know yeah. what I mean? Like, this could be in the car or just outside, just like in the living room, and then you go home.
Yeah.
But like, then the third stage is like actually having sex.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
don't cock tease.
Don't be a cock tease. Well, that's the end of our episode. But we have like, guys, I've literally done, I'll tell you right now, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 tips. I have like another, I'm not joking, like I think 30 tips.
So I've written down.
A part two. And you know what? We'll do the part two for Patreon this week.
Yeah, good.
So for Thursday, if you guys are interested, I've got so many amazing tips. So sign up to Patreon and you get an extra episode every single Thursday. And you'll be part of our bestie community, which I actually want to say, I love.
I know.
How nice is our bestie group chat?
I know.
Like, you know what? It's amazing because the people on the group chat have built a relationship with each other. And they help each other out with their dilemmas. It's mad. Like,
I know, it's
people
sick.
Be helping each other out on our platform.
I know. And I literally went in there the other day and I was like, I'm really upset. I'm going through a rough patch with like Gingerbread, and everyone was like so comforting and supportive and so sweet. So we love you guys. Yeah. Like, those who signed up, thank you so much.
Yeah. And those who are new, I hope you like are enjoying our episodes so far. Go back and watch some old ones.
Beginnings.
Yeah, you get to know us more. And thank you so much. Yeah, thank you for supporting us. And like, subscribe.
Share.
Tell your friends.
Tell everyone.
We love you. And we will see you on Thursday or Tuesday, depending on where you are.
Love you.
Bye.
Sisters in the City is part of the Acast Creator Network.